You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that will help enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan. Another awesome week. I hope you're doing well. I don't know if you're running a call right now. I don't know if you're at the gym right now. I don't know if you're dodging family dinner, but really glad that you took a second and pulled us into your day. So thank you. I'm getting ready to introduce you to Michelle Seaman. Michelle has been in the HVAC business since she was 26 years old, and she was one of the first female service techs at the utility company that she worked for. She finished her four-year apprenticeship. She tested with some of the highest scores ever, and she and her husband went on to start their own HVAC business that they ran for over 25 years as owner-operators. She currently works as the program director and instructor for Western Dakota Tech College, and she helps people explore and develop the skills to go into the trades themselves that companies like you can go and hire. We're going to be talking to her a lot of those, but one of the things that I really want you to pay attention to is like her passion for helping people, because it was really inspiring for me also. Let's introduce you to Michelle. Michelle, I am so glad we're able to get you on the show today. It's good to have you on. For those who maybe don't yet know who you are, let's just start there. Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Michelle Seaman, and I'm from South Dakota, cold country up here. And what I do is HVAC, starting out in the field, which I did for many, many years. And now I am currently in education and running the HVAC program here in South Dakota.
Dude, that is crazy. And by the way, Rapid City is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in my life. If no one's ever been like up to that part of the state, stunning, like breathtaking.
We are very blessed to live here.
It's really nice. So how, like, tell me, I guess, real quick about your journey. Like, how did you grow up in the trades? Like, how did you get to, like, from young person growing up to, like, where you are now in the role that you are?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I was 25 years old and had a family to take care of. And I was working in the office. And as I was working in the office, I was working in the accounting department. I'm seeing all these big numbers for people that were working in the field, and that was their salary. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I took a chance, became a meter reader with a utility company, and then worked my way up to becoming a serviceman general there, and found out that I really did love the trades. So I came from a very government oriented family. They all had desk jobs. So when I went into the field, they all kind of questioned my sanity.
Because you actually didn't work behind a desk. You didn't sit behind a computer pushing paper. Like, you were actually doing things with your hands.
So yeah, it was an interesting thing. And I found out it was something that I knew nothing about, didn't know if I could do it. But the more I got into it, the more I found out I just loved it. And I was created to do that.
That's crazy. And you went on then to, like, after you did that, you actually went on to start an HVAC business with your husband, right?
That is correct. Yeah, we were in the trades. We worked together at a utility company, and we decided to start our own business. The family joke is, I'm not sure he married me because he loved me or because he wanted free help. But either way,
meh, they're kind of the same thing, maybe.
It worked out really well. And so together we went on an adventure to start our own HVAC company, and we became very successful at it.
Oh, that's crazy. And so how, so that's one thing, like running a business is not for everyone. But how did you go from like running a business dealing with that grind to moving into like the education component of instructing other people about how to do the trade?
That was, again, another interesting journey that just kind of, opportunities come your way when you look for them sometimes. And so we had ran our business for a little over 25 years, and this little thing called COVID hit in 2020. And so we were kind of unsure of how the world was going to go and what was going to happen to our business. And what would happen as a small business and one of us being sick, both of us being sick. And so a job opening appeared, and somebody said, Michelle, you would be amazing at this. And I said, oh, to take over an HVAC educational program at a technical college as a female. Well, let's see. I've overcame some things before, so let's go ahead and give that a try. So I love teaching. I've been in teaching. I was a ski instructor and taught fitness for many, many years. So I knew I loved teaching. I just wasn't sure on what level I was comfortable teaching.
Did you feel like you made a comment like, did you feel like being a female was made it more difficult for you to break into a role like that? Did you feel like that there was like a bias or stigma against you being accepted into that sort of capacity?
You know, I'm not sure if it's a bias or a stigma, or it is the shock value or the curiosity. I like to believe the best in people. I think some people, when they see a female in the trade, I know that for many, many years out in the field, I was questioned, you know, how did you get into this work? Why would you do something like this? So I know there was always a curiosity, whether it was a bias or curiosity. I'm not really sure. I'm going to go with curiosity.
Yeah, that's well said. Well said. So do you feel like given your kind of career arc and your journey now, and even kind of where you are now with the opportunity to influence people, to help them like decide career paths, develop these skills, and hopefully, if all things go according to plan, exit them into successful opportunities where they can develop their own careers and become their own like humans. Do you feel like that's an important thing for you? Like, do you like looking for people that maybe would feel apprehensive, maybe feel difficulty in trying something new, either because they've never done it before, or maybe they don't feel like, well, I'm a woman. Women aren't in this sort of space. Do you feel like you now have a role as like an advocate or a guide to help people see the opportunity and potential of working in the trades?
Absolutely. I really feel like that's one of the most important things to me. I feel like it's like one of my callings. We do have discussions first day of class when these students, and most of them are male, I'm walking in and I'm going, so did any of you have curiosity about having a female instructor? And, you know, all of them just kind of look down and, you know, it's like, okay, one of you had to raise your hand. And, you know, slowly they all raise their hand and it's like, that's great. I'm glad you were wondering about that. Now I'm here to tell you that if I can do this, you can do this. Doesn't take a big burly man. It doesn't take a super intellectual person. It takes an everyday person that loves working with their hands, that likes being around people, and likes having a variety.
So, okay. So I'm curious from your role, because you probably have two different vantage points that a lot of people don't have. Option one is, or path one maybe is the ability to identify people who would be good fit for the trades before they might recognize it themselves. So they could be in a high school program, they could be looking for a second career, but you could help vet and kind of guide people through that discovery journey. But the other would be people who are or potential employers who are trying to find the right people for their team. So let's maybe start with the first side. What sort of conversations are you able to have with people who are looking to explore the trades in high school or as a second career path before they begin going to the tech school route?
I think some of the questions that I ask people when they say, well, how do I know if I could do the trades? And I usually start with, were you a kid that took your toys apart? Were you somebody that wanted to know how things worked? That's an important thing. It's in your mindset of what you like to do. Are you challenged by problem solving? Do you like to dig in and find out the hows and the whys things happen? Those are the things that make you really good in the trades.
Interesting. So it's almost, would it be fair to say like you're looking for like these signs of mechanical aptitude? Would that be fair?
It is. It is. And some people think mechanical aptitude is just being really good with the tools, but maybe it's just something that you haven't developed yet, but it's within you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this natural curiosity to see how things work.
Yes.
What about for potential employers? Do you ever run into issues where they have a certain look of a person? Like maybe they have a dude in mind, right? Like you said, a big burly guy. Like, do you feel like you sometimes have to advocate for people who don't fit this like stereotype that maybe potential employers are looking for, to go, it doesn't matter what they look like look what they're capable of doing and bringing to your business. And what are those conversations like?
Absolutely. A lot of times, if somebody's looking for a big, burly person, say, do you really need that? I've been asked before. It's like, well, how are you going to move that 300-pound unit into the building? And I said, well, how do you lift 300 pounds? Nobody can lift 300 pounds by themselves, or no one should lift 300 pounds by themselves. You outmaneuver. They make carts. They make team lifting. You need to use leverage. So the smarter you work, the less harder you have to work. And I always remind the employees, you don't want to be paying for knee surgeries and back surgeries. You want somebody that works smarter, not harder, and doesn't muscle things around because they can. They work smart and save their body.
That is, by the way, one of the best just leadership skills in general is recognizing that people are really clever and ingenious with trying to solve things efficiently. So if you give people a problem, they will find the most elegant, efficient way to solve that particular problem. It's going to be different than the way you would have done it. It might use different tools or different resources, but damn it, those people are going to figure that out well, and hopefully not at the expense of breaking their back or jacking up their knees.
Absolutely. And the satisfaction you get when you solve a problem like that is just such a big score. That's at the end of the day, what makes you feel really accomplished is when you did something and you figured out the solution.
One of the things, like from my personal experience, when I went to like a traditional academic environment, like for undergrad, for instance, is a lot of the professors that I studied under, and I guess this is actually true in even the grad programs, they lack real world experience. There's big on theory. There's big on like this philosophical sort of esoteric sort of conversation, but not one of them actually did a thing in the workforce, right? They just lived in this little bubble of academia. You're interesting because you're in a really practical role of teaching people the trades, but you came from a business environment, like a family owned business. Like you experienced the grind of what it's like to deal with customers and what it's like to, by the way, be married to someone you're in business with, which is a very, very different sort of strain than most people are aware of. In what ways do you feel like your experience and your personal path helps you better equip these young technicians to be more successful in their careers?
Well, I think the great thing that I bring to the table is not only was I an owner, but also an operator. So I love being out in the field. The biggest part that I miss in education right now is not being out in the field every day. I love doing that. I loved installing. I enjoyed problem solving. I love service because it's just a great feeling when you do those accomplishments. But I also came from the business sense of saying, I know what customers need and what customers want and what satisfies them. And so I can bring that into the classroom also. I feel like what I say is you can be a great technician and terrible customer service and you'll go nowhere because nobody will believe in your skills. And you can be great at customer service and a poor technician, you're actually going to get further because people believe in you, but eventually your lack of knowledge is going to catch you. But if you can have customer service and skills, you'll be unstoppable.
I think that's really well said. I feel like when I speak with, and this is true with plumbing, HVAC, electrical, pest control, doesn't matter. A lot of the owner operators tend to be people who are like mechanically oriented, right? They are really good at turning a wrench. They're really good at repiping a bathroom. And at one point they're like, I'm going to do this for myself. And they just did more of those things. And sometimes they fail to realize the importance of even developing those softer skills, the customer service facing things. And I love like the distinction you make because if you're a wizard with slinging a wrench, but suck with how you interact with people, like there's going to be a very, very shallow ceiling to which you'll have a hard time getting past. But if you can do both, if you can learn how to identify the customer experience, navigate those exchanges well, it's almost like someone told me recently, it's almost like if you're at a restaurant, like if you have a really great server working on your table, You can see how they manage with chaos and manage with pissed off customers and manage like a kitchen who's not quite delivering the food the way they're supposed to. They have this like elegance about the way they operate, and they still make you feel like it's a great dinner, right? They still have this way of pulling it all together. When you can combine that with like strong tech chops, those people now have near infinite capacity to have a positive influence on a business.
Absolutely.
If somebody, so this is where it's weird because like you're obviously, you have a finite geographic radius, but if somebody wanted to talk to you to see more about like, hey, is considering or exploring the HVAC route something that's viable for them? Or if there's other people who want to pick your brain about how to identify, recruit, and partner with people like you so that they could always have this like recruiting division, essentially like feeding green techs into their business, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you to learn more?
I think the best way is just to maybe shoot me an email. That would be awesome. We could reach out, connect, find out, you know, we have phone works well, we can have a conversation. I have been in this field so long that I just love being able to give back. I think that any of the trades are so needed right now, but I think a lot of people are misunderstanding what the trades are all about and how to get into them. And so anything that I can do to share that knowledge and just help the world a little bit better, fulfilling some of these gaps that we have, I'm all for it.
That's awesome. And I'll make sure that your email is listed in the show notes. So if anybody wants to hit you up via email, that's there. Michelle, I am so glad that you're able to come on and really grateful there's people like you who are passionate about helping people and adding value to people who are looking for the trades, who want to add value to people who are hungry for that knowledge and helping people like discover like this is possible for them. If they want to do it, they can have a really happy, successful career in all these paths. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Keep up the great work, and I'll make sure that your contact information is in the show notes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of Levergy, the digital marketing solution for serious home service companies. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another awesome episode. See you soon.